We got everybody? I think we do. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. I'd like to welcome everyone here. I'd like to open with prayer and welcome everyone to the Church of God. And we are so grateful that you're here today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just asked you to come in here this morning and bring your Holy Spirit and just allow us to learn what you would have us do in our lives and how we can be servants of you and how we can walk in the light of your unconditional grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So inserts, we have some inserts. Some of them has a blue thing in them. They say that they are special. I've still not figured out what that is, but I just go with it. Who's got one?
I tried to trade it off, but Sherry has one too.
Yeah. And, oh, Sherry's got one too, huh? Yeah, so we just kind of deal with them. So y'all are special today. But y'all are special every day in the kingdom of God. So, we got announcements coming up, I believe. I've kind of not slept for their course. We already know about that. That's nothing new. That's what will be going on next week. That's what's going on today. You can get a little bit of food this evening after the service.
Is there a regular day for the Bible?
It's every third Sunday. No, this is the third.
It is?
It is the third. And that's, we had a little, it's five Sundays in this month, right? So it feels like, you know, but it, every third Sunday is, you know, and that's, that type of stuff is always up to debate. It's whatever you guys want to do is really what's important. If y'all want to change at it some date, we can. But that's what's been set up before. And now we're, what else? Oh, yeah, church council meeting. That'll be this Thursday here. And this here is good information. I personally know nothing about it. So, I mean, I know, but I think you are more qualified to, you know, to kind of explain. Right. And you work down there, correct?
Yep, every Tuesday.
Okay. So you go down there and aggravate her.
Yep.
If you, so you guys know that I have limited skills and I lean on the Holy Spirit a lot to get me through these sermons. And this week I had some personal stuff that come up that I was really busy and that pulled me away from preparing for the sermon, and I didn't do my normal routine that I do, so I'm going to really be laying on the Holy Spirit really hard today. But so bear with me today if I'm not my usual, whatever y'all think my usual is, I'm not quite sure. And of course, the Osbournes will always read our scriptures for us today. We usually have them available for everyone. But I was changing some equipment in my office, and I messed up being able to print them off this morning. I took a piece that I shouldn't took, but they will be up here that I believe. So they will be there. Yeah, we're good. Okay. Huh? They finna read them. Yeah. Ready?
It's a go. Of John 8:1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, of course, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up, said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." When Jesus spoke again to people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not true." Hold it. Not valid. I'm sorry, I missed it. He answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. The other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come.
This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many believed in him.
Many believed in him. There's some powerful stuff there. Some very powerful stuff. And I mean, at this point, Christ made it clear that I'm telling you who I am. And you're not hearing me. I am the one that y'all have been waiting on. I am from the line of David. I am the Son of God. I am the Redeemer. And you guys are not hearing me. That last line, I'm going to go back to the beginning, because the beginning is really the favorite part. So I'm using the end to kind of set up the point that I'm going to make about the beginning of this of 8. Was that last part that he said in there, you know, you kind of skim over it because it doesn't seem where he says, when you, the ones that don't believe in me, lift me up, then you'll know who I am. You know, you ever thought, well, if these people don't believe in him, why would they be lifting him up? What are they talking about there? Well, you know what he was talking about? That when they lift him up on that cross, then you'll see who I am. You will see from my Father that I'm exactly who I said I was. So he's telling them what they're going to do before they do it, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. That he's telling them, y'all going to lift me up. Y'all going to drag me down that road. You're going to spit upon me. You're going to beat me. You're going to persecute me. You're going to mock me. You're going to throw lots for my clothes. And then you're going to lift me up on a cross as a beating human man for all the world to see, with the thoughts in your mind that you have defeated me. And in that moment, when you think that you have defeated God Almighty in His Son, my Father will show you that I'm exactly who I say I am. They wanted to get rid of Him. They were closed-minded. There, the things that, we'll go back to the beginning here now, the thing that we have to realize, or I have to realize, I should never say anyone else has to do anything. We all have free will. God don't even tell you you have to do something. He does make some suggestions out of this book that I find works real well. That evil, true evil, always tries to hide behind sin. Evil tries to get men to focus on man's basic sin, where evil can operate in the dark. And in the first part of John here, you know, our Savior goes in to teach. You know, they bring this lady here that's just a basic, what I like to say in their time, just a broken soul and a sinner. There's no evil in this woman. She is just tripping up in the sins of the flesh. But the so-called people in authority, the ones that's supposed to be righteous, they bring her to the Savior and say, you know, Moses' law says that, you know, that we got to stone this woman and kill her. What do you say? This is where I wished I would be a little bit more like Jesus. Because a lot of times when evil gets up in my face, I have the tendency want to get back up into evil's face. You know, I have a tendency that I want to, you know, you want to do something evil, let's do something. You know, I have that mentality. You know, I'm all Cajun, you know. We down there, you know, riverboat gambler more or less. We, that's who I am. You know, I got the Mississippi muddy water running through my veins. It doesn't even look like blood. It kind of looks like this old muddy water if you see it. But what did Jesus do? He turned his back on evil and started growling in the sand. You know, I've always thought that, because we really know, if you look, this is the only place in the Bible that says Jesus, you know, this is the only situation where they say that Jesus ever wrote anything. You know, Jesus didn't write about himself. You know, he didn't, you don't have the gospel Jesus, you know, you have the other gospels. You know, but he was, and I've always thought, boy, I sure would have been looking over his shoulder as he was diddling in the sand. You know, I wonder what he was writing, you know. Or was he just drawing little pictures or something, stick man? You know, what was he doing? You know, I don't know if he was doing anything significant there or not. In writing, he was more or less saying, I turn my back to you, evil. And it's pure evil. One was in sin. These group of people were in evil. Because make no mistake about it. Their actions was trying to betray God and be in defiance of God and be in defiance of Jesus Christ. And they were wanting to destroy the concept of God Almighty with this woman's sin, trying to trap Christ. That's evil. You know, we went over this before about in the Ten Commandments. It sticks out to me, you know, the commandment where, we in the English translation, you know, we've got it down to the point where, you know, it says that, you know, you don't take the Lord's name in vain. Well, that's kind of a misinterpretation. In the real original Hebrew, it's don't carry the Lord's name in vain. Don't misrepresent God to another human being in vain. For that sin, I will not forgive you. You know, but that's because I was an old baseball coach, and a couple times I had some players really turn on one and knock it out of the park. And in the heat of the moment, I jumped up and said, "Oh my God, what a home run!" And if that's a sin, I'm going to probably bust Hades wide open, you know, because I've said it a couple times in my life. I don't think I will not be forgiven for that. I don't think I can commit murder and be forgiven for that, but say, "Oh my God, what a home run," and not be forgiven that. So there's a little more going on there than that. So then what did Jesus do? Eventually, just simple answer. Brilliant. I would have not have been that brilliant. It was brilliant. He turned it right back around on them, did he not? Well, you guys, whichever one of y'all don't have any sin, throw the first stone. And then he turned around and went back to drawing. Could you imagine being there? Could you imagine being there? And he's been digging in the dirt, drawing, writing. I don't know what he was doing. He was dismissing them of any authority. That's what he was doing. And then he eventually takes a little time out from drawing his cartoon characters or whatever he's doing. And he turned around and said, "Whichever one of you guys don't really have any sin, y'all start throwing the stone." And he went back. "I'm done with you people." And one by one, they left, starting with the older ones, the ones that thought they knew everything. It wasn't the ones that was not so much, and that's important in there, right? You would think it would be the other way around, right? That the ones that didn't claim to be so solid in knowing what the law was of Moses, that those would be the first ones that ran off, right? But it wouldn't. It was the ones that claimed to know so much about Moses' law that took off. And then, of course, the other one's like, "Well, if they're leaving, I definitely have no authority here. I'm going too." I'm going too. And here's the thing. It's just, you know, I like to call Gordon of Valley sinners. You know, like me, I'm a sinner. You know, without the grace of God, I've said it once and I'll say it again, without the blood of Jesus Christ and the price that was paid on that cross, if you pay 2 cents for me, you paid too much. You got ripped off. Somebody sold you something that, you know, your 2 cents is worth nothing without the Lord. And right here, this is the thing as sinners we got to realize. A lot of people, we today in time, we think that we are so, what's the word I'm looking? We're so wanting to be of Christ and helping folks and do that they'll come to us broken and they will say that they want to find Christ's love and And then they'll go and they'll walk right back in their sin. Right? And then they'll come back. And they'll want the salvation of Christ, but they never do what Christ said. Go and give up your life of sin. I mean, Christ is not a servant of us to cater to our sinly flesh. He's not. He's a servant that says, I will pay the price of your sin for you and stand in the gap and let my blood of the Lamb wash you clean. For when you stand in front of my Father, you will be that clean, perfect creature that he expects to see. But you better go and not walk in your sin anymore. Because I'm not the local car wash. You're not going to run off and get your soul dirty every week and bring it and run it through the car wash and get it cleaned again on my dime. You know, it's a little something expected out of you at this relationship. Now, do we all sin and fall short? You know, I probably sinned 3 times this week in a matter. Wasn't done with malice. You know, it was done out of confusion and hurt and misunderstanding and, you know, and misinterpretation. And I probably didn't handle situations in the way that I should have handled them. And it probably hurt a couple of my friends and family members, I like to call them. And it was sin, you know. It was Satan getting me by the throat and trying to get me to live in my fear instead of in the faith of what happened on the cross. And that's always the game with Satan. It's always the game. The closer you get to that salvation on the cross, the closer you get to that, the more that he's going to try to attack you and get you to live in the fear of what man thinks. You know. See, I'm not one of them pastors that think that I got this thing figured out. I'm not one of them pastors that I think that I am got to the point where I know the difference between organized religion and Christianity. You know, and it's a big difference. And some of y'all know my opinion. But for some of y'all that don't know my opinion, you see this book right here? As a pastor, this holy Bible, the most powerful thing, the living word of God on the face of the earth. As a pastor, when I think I've got this all figured out, and I decide what's wrong with this church, is I'm not applying this to you guys enough, and I'm not using this to try to fix you into what my vision of you should be as a Christian, that's organized religion. Christianity is when I take this book and as a pastor through its sample, apply it to me and try to fix me. And then when something happens in your life and you ask me the question what to do, I can say I went to the Word of God in a situation like that, and this is what I did, and this is what worked for me. And you might want to try it, you know, because see, I don't know your vision, God's vision for your life. I don't know the end result of every one's life that's walking the face of the earth as a pastor. God has not gave me that kind of information. You know, so what do I know? What do I know? It's the same thing that I know today that I know when I went into the ministry. It's only by the grace of God that I am fit to be among humanity today. It's only by the grace of God that I get to be one of the good guys. Not through my work. Not through my great knowledge. It's not my proper speaking of the English language, because we all know that I do not speak the English language properly. I butcher it up pretty bad because I got that Bayou mud in me, and we talk a little different down there. You know, and this ain't going away. You know, it's kind of like the birthmark. It ain't going nowhere. It's been here since I was born, and it's probably going to be here until I die. You know, so it is what it is. But through his grace, I am something that's worthy of serving him. You know? Jesus will renew us from our sin, but make no mistake about it, he will turn his back on evil. He will turn his back on evil. They came to him with this woman. They could really care less what happened to that woman. None of them was willing to counsel her, I bet. No one was willing to ask her, why are you living this life? How can we help you heal from this brokenness? You know, there's no self-respect. There's no self-respect for an individual to live in adultery. This is a broken soul. But these people didn't care about her brokenness. And as leaders of the church, how they could help her find even salvation through the law, which what they were practicing at the time. No, what they cared about is how can we take this broken lady that needs the glory of God to transform her life, how can we use her to destroy this person that may be a problem for us because he is teaching stuff that we don't know any answers to. And it sounds like it might make sense. And it sounds like he has authority that we don't know of. That's why they asked him, who's your father? What's this? Where are you getting this from? We've never heard anything like this before. You know? So my message is today, as Christians, with my sister and my brother, and you have a moment that you step out in your sin, I don't want to be that other Christian that drags evil up to try to destroy you and your purpose that God has. I mean, you got to realize these was not roundabout, rough routes, you know, barroom people. That these are people claiming to be of God. You know? And that's what Satan does to Christians. He abides and conquers, abide and conquer, abide and conquer. You know? He'll be the first to tell you, oh, my brother Tom over there, look at him, Hollis. Look at him, brother Hollis. He's a sinning in your law and what you preach and stuff. We got to stone him. We got to just go ahead and do away with him, you know. Or it's going to hurt the whole church or something, you know. Instead of me having turned my back on that evil like Christ did and went to the woman in her sin and let it play out and then say, who accuses you? If they don't accuse you, I don't accuse you. Go and sin no more. Leave your life of sin. How can I help you walk away from your sin? You know, that's our responsibility as Christians today. It's not for me to condemn my brother with his sin, but help him walk away from his sin. You know, that's our responsibility as Christians. Because time and time again, that's what Christ did. And what does Christians mean? Being Christ-like. He never went into a hard fast of condemning. Even when he was telling them they're going to die in his sin and they're not going to know the Father, he's telling them that I'm not condemning you. The Father will condemn you because your actions is going to condemn you, not my actions. Because you don't believe I am who I say I am. But when you lift me up on that cross and my Father makes the earth shake and the dark clouds come and the temple starts falling apart, then you realize I am the Lord and Savior. But at that point, old buddy, it may be too late for you. You know. So when I see my brother as a fellow Christian today in sin, as a non-Christian, my job is not to figure out how I can make you live in the fear of your sin, make you live in the fear of God condemning you, but show you and help you if you want it on how you can be delivered from your sin through the grace of the cross. That's my job as a Christian. And if I do anything else but that, you know, I'm not a Christian. I can call myself whatever I want to. You know, I can call myself, my mama taught me that when I was a little boy, a young man, you know, because I would confess all kind of things from my mouth to my mama. My mama always had the same old answer. Said, son, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me, but I'll just sit back and watch your actions and it'll show me who you are. So you can tell old mom whatever you want to tell old mom. Mom's not going to stop loving you. But don't think you're going to sell me a bill of goods. You know. Don't tell me, and I did this and got caught for it and then tried to play it off as something else as a young boy. I was about 16 years old, 17 years old. You know, don't tell me that yours over at your friend's house at 10:30, Tom McKinnon, and y'all was watching some baseball game or football game on TV when you was over at Julie Luke's house trying to climb in her bedroom window without her mama and daddy knowing it because you didn't have pure motives around that girl. And don't tell me that you was something that you was not, son. So just because you think you say something to me, I'm going to buy it. When I've got the evidence of your actions and it's been proved that it was your actions. You know? Mama, that's not me. And she would say to me, son, sometimes with a tear in her eyes. She said, I believe that's not who you want to be. But son, today that's who you are. And let me help you. Let me help you find a way to get your actions in line with what you're trying to confess out of your mouth. So, that's our job as Christians, to stand in the cross and that gap between the cross and my brother when he's trying to get away from sin. Me have one hand on that salvation. One hand on him, and as Satan is trying to pull him out into evil to be condemned forever, me stay a hold of that hand and pull him and then push him to the cross and step out of the way where him and Christ can have that personal relationship. My sister. And as Christians, that's been our job, and that has not changed for over 2,000 years. So thank you for allowing me to share my message from the Bible today, or Christ's message that I'm just reinterpreting. God bless you. Do we have a worship song coming up, I believe? Love you, Linda. Be careful.
I've been trying to run away from this false reality. No matter where I turn my back, you're always right in front of me. So I push you away, but I don't know that I'm wrong. I don't know the words to say to make my faith that strong. So I will pray to you right now, take away my sin, heal away my brokenness, and change this heart again. Without you I am nothing but a weak and dying man. So I will pray to you right now, and change this heart again. Going through the motions, if my life is still the same, every day's the same old puzzle, all the pieces rearranged, and I refuse your help out of my own selfish pride. Lord, I have so many masks to cover up and so I will pray to you right now to take away my sin. Come heal away my brokenness and change this heart again. Without you I am nothing but a weak and a dying man. So I will pray to you right now to change this heart.
We'll do final prayer. We'll have a prayer list. Got Sister Kathy's family still on that over in, I keep wanting to say Oregon, but it's Ohio. I don't know why I've had Oregon on my mind for some reason. And Miss D, of course, you know, and Miss Beth Ann, and Mike, and everyone out there. And your surgery, I want to say, but you came in without your thing on the day, so I'm ready to put you in the game and see if you can throw a couple in. And you know, she just had soldier surgery, and it's good to see her not having that, whatever that was on there. And Jimbo, he's here today. His back looks better. He'd had problem. We'll still pray for him for complete healing. And Bulldog, wherever you're at this morning, we've not forgotten about you. And, of course, the family that had the four children burn up in the fire, you know, we definitely don't want to forget about that family in our prayers. And the two young men that got shot with the guy when that episode, whatever happened there. I don't know the details. I better not comment on it. I just know two young men were shot in a bad situation. We want to keep that. I think their name was Tim and I want to say Steve, Scott or Steve. Huh? Pepperdine. Thank you, brother. Thank you for toting me. And, of course, Pastor Roy, our district pastor, he did go in and have his surgery on Tuesday or his test and stuff, and came back, and some of the things that they thought was might have been major problems with his heart, they cleared that up. So he's not going to have like a heart, open heart surgery or whatever they were going to do right now. Praise the Lord for that, you know. And of course, Josh, you know, and him taking responsibility for that. Am I forgetting anybody? Anybody got anyone they want us to pray for before we close that I'm missing? Am I missing anyone? So we'll lift up them grandsons. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we just asked you to move in these each and every one of these individuals' life and the individuals that need you and seeking you that we don't even know about, that you will move in their life and bring your son's unconditional love and grace to them. And we just ask for your peace through the process they're going through. You know, and not to get caught up in the world's things and not to be put in that box that Satan likes to put us in when we get afraid that there's no way out and the Lord has left the room and he's not coming back. That's a lie. It's not true. And he's a liar from the beginning and he'll be a liar in the end. And we rebuke him in Jesus Christ's name. And we tell him, get up out of here. You ain't got no place here. God will put you in your proper place in his time. But in here is not your place. And we send him away in Christ's name. And would anyone else like to pray for anyone? Dear Lord, we just ask you to take each and every one of them home today and on their travel and keep them peaceful and safe and watch over them that's in this church and this body. And we just ask for your unconditional grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.